We've been introduced to some seals, now we're starting the trumpets, and it's not such a good time on earth. Revelation chapter 8, let's stand as we reverence the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. We're going to read the whole chapter. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar and was given him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked and heard of the midst of the angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Father, speak to us. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Your word is truth. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In Revelation chapter 5, we saw the Lamb was introduced as he began to take the scroll of the title deed of the earth and began to take the earth back, which was rightfully his. Chapter 6, we've seen the same thing as his rightful possession to rule, a process that began to initiate the opening of seven seals from opening that title book from that scroll, remember? Chapter 6 records six of those seven seals that have been opened. Those six of the seven seals have been opened. Then the text does something very strange. Almost really in chapter 7, we saw we meet 144,000 Jews who were saved during the tribulation period, who were going to proclaim a gospel of the kingdom of God with great results. John saw, the Bible says, there are a great multitude which no one can number of all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues, people who got saved because of their preaching. Converts of the preaching of those Jewish witnesses there. But when you come to the 8th chapter, you begin to open that 7th seal. And when he opens that 7th seal, you begin to see that there's trumpets now going to be sounded as a result of opening that 7th seal. Seven trumpets. It's with the sound of these seven trumpets that the intensity of God's judgment increases monumentally. The first four is what we're going to look at tonight. The last three will pick up sometime in the month of July. First of all, notice with me here in the text the period that is described. Before the sounding of this trumpet, you begin to see a very unusual scene in heaven. The text is just fascinating, if you will. The scene is described in verse 1 when it says, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." Now, I want you to notice with me two thoughts about that in this text this evening. First of all, I want you to notice the silence that overcomes heaven. Now, this text would seem to imply, ladies and gentlemen, that there were no women present here during this time. I'm not sure that I have a theological basis for that theory, but I must confess there's a strong possibility there. Justin, what are you laughing about? I'm joking, ladies. I'm joking about that because there was no silence. Some of the ladies would probably argue well, there was no men there to aggravate the women in order for there to be silence like that. But in a serious manner, this scene presents to us something we've never seen in heaven before. All the other scenes we've seen of heaven have been that of jubilation and praise and honor and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This scene is different. This scene is quiet. As a matter of fact, we read in chapter 7, verse 10, and the Bible says, "And there was crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And that scene of the angels and the elders and the four beasts joined in saying, Amen, and blessing, and glory, and honor, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Now, that type of scene has been common throughout the scenes in heaven, but that not here. And we open in chapter 8, there's no shouting, there's no singing, only silence. Why are they quiet for? Ladies and gentlemen, it ought to break our hearts to see what takes place in our land and what's taking place in our world. There ought not to be so much rejoicing sometimes when they see this. Even in heaven, when the curtains pulled back and they see the wrath of Almighty God is about to be poured back, they begin to say, wow, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. I see secondly, though, in the text here, not only the silence that overcomes heaven, but I see secondly the severity that overwhelms heaven. The seven angels who stand before God, do we see that right there in the text? In verse 2, "And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now this here text is in a definite article, which would include, that says that this is a select group of angels. Now you find various ranks of angels in the Bible, such as cherubim, seraphims, and archangels. There are some who call these presence angels who said it was about they stood before God. The word stood there, it's in the perfect tense, which indicates they've stood before God in the past and they've done that for some time. They've just standing there. The idea would seem to be in the text that they've been standing there waiting on him to say, now blow. Now's the time. You've been waiting there to blow those trumpets for this purpose. That's why you've stood there for all this time. Now's that time. It's the appropriate time. Seven trumpets. The trumpets have a significant place in the Bible. You know that. Trumpets were used to summon the congregation of Israel. They sound their alarm in time of war at certain religious feasts, and they announce news and to even acclaim a new king. In the New Testament, we find there's a trumpet wind during the rapture. Now we see these seven trumpets are going to be ushering a series of God's judgment on the earth. These trumpets are blown that it unleashes a specific judgment of greater intensity than the one was brought before with the opening of the seven seals, six seals. It's during this time that this silence occurs in heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, it's just a hush. There's a holy silence. I like to have a good time as much as the next fella. But this morning, I really sensed that God was doing something. So I walked straight here and went straight to do what we were doing. And there's times even tonight, I really sense that God's here. And I want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And there's times to be quiet. And here they just stood in awe of the splendor of the one who's telling them, now blow. The severity is going to get bad. The grim reality is what's about to happen. It overwhelms them. Think of the scene this way. The people of God are thrilled with what God has in store for us because of our salvation. I'm thrilled the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that I really do believe there's streets of gold. I believe that they're everything we read in the Bible is true about heaven. I'm thrilled for the fact that we'll spend all eternity with the Lord. I'm even thrilled that I'll spend there all eternity with you. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen, but at the same time, would you think about those folks who are lost without God? Think about what's in store for them. It ought to fill our hearts with sadness. Every once in a while you hear folks say, well, I hope that such and such burns in hell. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought not never say that about nobody. The fact of the matter is, if we all got what we deserved, we'd all die and go to hell. These saints in heaven have rejoiced that the Lamb was about to take back what belongs to Him. That was a time of rejoicing. But when they see what's going to take place to these folks are now quiet. There's no rejoicing about this. There's nothing to be happy about. Sometimes you even hear preachers preach on hell, and they say that it's almost, that people are going there almost like they're glad about that. When we talk about the fact that real people die and go to hell, ladies and gentlemen, that's not a good thing. These folks are unsaved, and they see what's going to take place, and it's a grim reality that sets in around their praises. There's just silence. Nothing to be happy about anymore. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to bother us that real folks die and spend eternity in a real place called hell. It ought to bother us that folks we know will go through this horrible judgment of God. The period that is described, that's exactly the prayers that are defined. Chapter 5, we saw the prayers of the saints as they went up to the Lamb in the book. The Bible says the four living creatures and the 12 and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp full of bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Again, we see here that they're having a part of the end time events. There's two thoughts about this. I want you to pay attention here. The prayers ascending to God in verses 3 and 4. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and it was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the altar which was before the throne. Now this prayer here is a counterpart to that prayer which had been taking place in the temple, which was made of gold as well. The angel held in his hand here a golden censer, which is similar to the fire pans which the priests of the Old Testament would use. They would take hot coals off the altar from the brazen altar twice a day, both morning and evening, and carry them to the incense altar. And those hot coals would ignite the incense, which would go up towards heaven and symbolic of the prayers of the saints to Almighty God. Same thing's happening here. Verse 4, the Bible says, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God and before the angels' hands. They're ascending to God. These prayers are ascending to God. Ladies and gentlemen, hear what I'm telling you, is that these prayers in which we've offered are being, God is getting them. It's a beautiful picture that the Old Testament and the New Testament work so great, good together, and God's still doing the same things. And the Old Testament, those prayers were a sweet savor to His nostrils. And the New Testament hears the prayers of the saints, and the same things are still happening today. They're being defined here in this text, and you have to pay very close attention because the narrative's going to change rapidly here in verse 5. Then the Bible says in verse 5, then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Let's just be honest tonight, Sunday night, there's roughly 60 or 70 of you here, and let's just be honest. You ever prayed and didn't think the prayers got up over the ceiling? I have. Felt like there was a block between you and the Lord. Sometimes you just feel like you wasn't getting through, but you can be rest assured they did get there, and these prayers apparently only got there, but they were kept by God as well. They're being stored in heaven in a golden censer. The text says the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it on the earth, and there were noises and thunderings and lightning and an earthquake. The casting of these prayers of the saints on the earth indicate that the prayers are being answered. In our prayers, we all have a certain element of seeking the will of God, or at least you should. Those prayers have been saved and stored by God's will in establishing His rule on earth. Did Jesus not tell us to pray this way? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, watch this. What's taking place here, we've prayed for years that the will of God be done. The will of God be done. The will of God be done. God, you see what's taking place here. You see how they're persecuting Christians. You see how they're mocking your name. Your will be done, Lord. Your will be done. God, you see them snuffing their nose at you. You see them doing this in our land. You see our nation, a nation that was founded upon Christian principles. We're talking about good old America now. They were laughing at God. We're kicking them out of every public place. And we pray as people constantly, Lord, your will be done here. You know what's fixing to happen? God stored all that stuff. And he's heard those prayers of the saints of God. And man, his wrath is to pour down on here like you've never seen before, because his will really is supposed to be done here. Because every once in a while, people say, and let's just be honest, if you were God, sometimes you'd dole out a little Old Testament justice to some folks, wouldn't you? Me and Lisa's the only honest people here. Amen. Rest of them lying, Lisa. Maybe you can have a conversation. There's a few of them. Sometimes, wouldn't you just like to see God just grab up the scuff of their neck and the seat of their breeches and just do something real bad to them, Dwayne? I mean, let's just be honest. You see folks like that. And you see that kind of stuff. And now what's happening here in this narrative is the text says that and when he throws it to the earth, there are noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Man, God's fist to pour back and pour the intensity out, and his will's fist to really be done on this earth. So then the text picks up there. Again, it brings us to a third truth here. The period that is described is silence there. They're upset. They're quiet about that. Then we see the prayers that are defined. We've prayed, folks, that God's will be done. We've asked for the will of God to be done. Well, it's fitting to be. ISIS. Sometimes, don't you wish sometimes God just grab up the ACLU by the seat of their riches and really shake them real good? I mean, don't y'all? I personally would like to see, and I'm going to offend somebody when I say this, and Dennis is going to take all the complaints afterwards, but now, I personally would like to see the president give his heart to Jesus, really, and change his tune about some of this stuff. He's taking pod shots every chance he's got since he got reelected at Christians. He recently said that Christian folks and evangelical folks are some of the meanest people in the world, basically is what he said. Well, that may be true. There are some mean folks. But the fact of the matter is, who's doing all the benevolence and all the care and feeding all those folks whenever disasters happen? By the way, Southern Baptists lead the way in doing all those things, by the way. We're not a perfect denomination. I'd be the first to admit that. But we've got some really good stuff happening, too. But notice here with me, the third thought, though, is the part that is designated. Verse 6. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. It's almost as if God looks at angel number one and says, you ready? Angel number two, are you ready? Get ready. Number three, are you ready? And goes all the way through. Boy, it's going to get bad. It really is. And when you look at those first four, how they're sounded in Revelation chapter 8, an interesting thought takes place here. I'm just going to give you these highlights. Verse 7, and a third of the trees were burned up. Verse 8, a third of the sea became blood. Verse 9, a third of the living creatures of the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Verse 10, and it fell on a third of the rivers and a third of the springs of water. Verse 11, a third of the waters became overboard. Are you finding a pattern here? Verse 12, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and so the third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine. That just stands to reason. If you don't have but a third, you don't get but a third, all right? And likewise the night. And the sounding of the seven trumpets is a third part of certain things that are affected by God's judgment. The earth is affected greatly ecologically. What's funny is we got a bunch of folks running around to call this Mother Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, Father God's supposed to come down on Mother Earth. Are you following what I'm telling you? Now, I don't think we ought to be able to pour oil into the ocean either. I think that'd be a bad thing. But I think the idea that you can't cut a tree down because that's going to offend somebody is nonsense as well. God's going to take a third of the creation in which he created, and he's going to burn it up. That's what it says right here. Now, I want you to notice with me. First of all, the desolation caused by the first trumpet. Verse 7. We're just working our way through a text. That's all we're doing. I'm not very smart. You folks are smart as I am. You can do this very thing. The text says the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and there were thrown to the earth, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. Now, me and Ben talked about this a few years ago. Mowing grass in April is not too bad. By October, it's getting pretty old, though. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's the only good thing I could see that happens in that text. All the grass is gone. You got to laugh, cry, folks. I mean, that's what it says. Now, but really what happens is John sees a combination of both hell and fire here. Most people think this is as volcanic eruptions triggered by a worldwide spewing of vast quantities of flaming lava. John sees them both mingled with blood, the text says. Henry Marsh has an interesting take on this, as he says the blood of entrapped men and animals mingled with them, or possibly showers of liquid water drops, might be so contaminated that dust and gases appear to be red, blood red. Whatever the meaning of that text is, which there are some debate about that, there is no debating that a third of the trees and all the grass is burnt up. The word trees there is fascinating, though. If you look at that word in the Greek, the word there would seem to imply that he's talking about not just trees, but fruit trees. That's important. And that would, he's describing that of crops and plant life on a massive scale. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, what it would do to the price of food if a third of the fruit trees and crops across the world were destroyed in one fell swoop. Sam, you do that. You work in agriculture. It would drive the prices astronomically out the roof. It would result in ecological disaster, actually. You've seen a worldwide famine. We've seen a worldwide famine, but the conditions are only worsened by these events. And it's a desolation of the whole world. Let me give you a second thought. I see the destruction of the second trumpet, the desolation caused by the first, but I see the destruction caused by the second trumpet. Verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. Now the first trumpet, judgment fell on what? Land. The second one's going to fall on sea or water. John sees this massive object plunging into the sea, wreaking havoc on the seas of the world. No doubt this would have to be a giant meteorite of some kind or an asteroid striking the waters, the world's oceans with explosive power, greater than that of an atomic bomb. Now, preacher, what if it happens and it falls in the Atlantic? If something that big falls into the Atlantic, it's going to affect all the oceans of the world. All this. Now, I'm not even smart, but I know all that water's connected. I mean, I know at some point it's got to start and stop somewhere. Are you following what I'm telling you? So when that happens, that's going to be a third of the creatures in the sea are going to die, and that's probably why the water's turning into blood. Verse 9 says, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Again, imagine the ecological disaster and also the price of food. And your trees are gone. Crops, a third of them. Now a third of all the shrimp and all the fish and all the salmon and all the things that we do eat, gone. Catastrophic. Think about this, all the ships that will be destroyed at the seaports and are swamped because of the destruction of a third of the shipping commerce. Can you imagine the economic chaos that's going to be in our world during that time? I'll go back to this again. That's why there's silence when they see this. This is not a good thing. Let me give you a third thought. The desolation caused by the first trumpet, the destruction of the second trumpet, the death of the third trumpet that we see in verses 10 and 11. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven and burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. We got the salt water the first time. We're getting fresh water now. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. The word star there can refer to any celestial body or moon or the sun. Another massive object from heaven seems to disintegrate as it reaches the Earth's atmosphere. The word torch there sometimes was used in ancient times to describe meteorites and comets. The debris from that is going to fall into the freshwater. A third of the freshwater on the Earth, the rivers and the springs, is going to pollute much of the world's drinking water. Now, that word wormwoods is a really interesting word. It describes a shrub whose leaves are used in the manufacture of, I'm not going to say this word right, it's abstinence. It's a liquor so toxic that it's, if you look it up, it's made, you can look it up. Some people, they put this stuff in liquor still, but some countries have actually banned it because it's so poisonous. But whenever that gets into water, it ruins the water. And people pour that stuff down their throats willingly all the time. And that's what's happening there. And that's just going to poison the water, and it's going to kill folks from their drinking water. Somebody told me the other day I need to drink my water instead of Diet Coke. Folks, Diet Coke's base is water, okay? It is based in water, Cindy. I mean, I don't care how you go to Coke. They got a huge water bill there. They make that stuff. They got a huge, don't they, Ethan, in its base water? I know they put some other stuff in there, but it's better than water, in my opinion. But when a third of the water or the world's drinking supply is gone, you talking about chaos? That's bad. But look here, what happens? We see the desolation caused by the first trumpet, the destruction of the second trumpet, the death of the third trumpet, and the darkness of the fourth trumpet. The text changes again. He says, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. The words that we have translated were struck in verse 12 gives us our word plague. A plague hits these heavenly bodies as their third are darkened. Imagine the sudden change in the temperature on earth when a third of the sun's no longer there. Can you imagine what it would do to the weather patterns, the sea tides, the unpredictable storms, and the further ecological chaos on the earth without all that? Folks, it's going to get bad, and that's why they're quiet. They're not rejoicing. They see what's happening. And hear me tonight, real people that you and I know that live around us every day of our lives, they're going through these horrible events and they're living this nightmare because they don't know Jesus. And if you think things are bad now, the worst is yet to come. Look here in verse 13. He says, and I looked, John says, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's the people who live on earth. That's not talk about animals. That's talk about real live people that you and I know that don't know Jesus. Because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound, what he says this, you hadn't seen nothing yet. If you think that's been bad up to this point, wait until these last three blasts of the trumpet. As we move to the book of the Revelation, ladies and gentlemen, hang on, it's only going to get worse. You see, many scenes of God's judgment being poured out on earth as you come to each expression of God's wrath, things only intensify every time. Now, I don't know about you tonight. When I begin to read stuff like this and study about stuff like this, it does two things to me. Number one, it makes me glad that on February 25th of 1991, I bow my knee and my heart to Jesus and give my life to Him. I am. Number two, it breaks my heart that I know people that will spend eternity separated from God in hell, but they'll first experience this if they're here. Now, preacher, what happens if they die first? They're going to miss out on some of this. They're still going to go to hell, though. The inhabitants of the earth are going to be here. As we come to each expression, that makes it worse. We ought to be thrilled that we're saved, but when you think about these seven trumpets bringing God's wrath, it ought to make us glad we're ready. But I guess my question tonight in closing is, are you ready? Tonight, if you don't know Jesus, you really need to know Him. Tonight, if you're a Christian, you're away from the Lord, you really need to understand that your backsliding may not make you go to hell, but it could cause someone else to go through this right here. I don't want to be the cause of folks going through something like this because of my sin and my carelessness of my Christian life and my Christian experience. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a responsibility to tell everyone we know that Jesus Christ is not a way, that He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's not even a good way to go to heaven. He's not even the best way to go to heaven. He's the only way to go to heaven. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we want folks to miss that. So if you're lost, you come. If you're a Christian and become careless, you get things right because folks are watching you and they're watching me. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, to the best of my ability today, I preach what you laid on my heart. God, now I pray, Lord, as we go to our respective homes, you'll give us rest for the night, a good day tomorrow for the journey that we have before us tomorrow. And bless our efforts as we serve you. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cindy, what are we singing?
Take the name of Jesus with you.
Would you come?